for sharing that with us. We're glad that you're with us here this morning, and Douglas is going to come and lead us in a couple of songs here this time.
And a good Sunday morning to everybody. I trust that you're all well. And what a glorious day the Lord has given us. Amen. It's like he's giving us a hug with the warmth of his son today. So we can rejoice in knowing that God is on the throne and is in control. This morning, too, I'd just like to send along a little reminder. I know Pastor told everyone to look at Psalm 34 for encouragement. And, of course, the Lord has many scripture verses of encouragement as we go through the trials that we're enduring today. But also, he reminded me about Psalm 91. So you might want to take a look at that through the week and read through Psalm 91. And as you have your daily devotions, I'm sure you will be blessed. This morning, now if you have your words to the two songs we'll be singing here this morning, you might want to get them out and sing along as we sing these two hymns here this morning. The first one we'll be singing is number 8 in our hymnal, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. You don't have your hymnal, but if you want to sing along, please use the words that Pastor said to you. How great thou art. Amen. Number 4.
Thank you.
Couldn't quite hear y'all there. Can you say that amen again? Okay. Well, here we are again. Beautiful day outside. And for those who can't see it, Tom did a great job mowing. Everything looks really nice out there.
Amen.
Now we just need a lot more cars in the parking lot. But police have been busy running up and down the street, sirens on, chasing some little red car. I hope they figure that out. Well, we're glad that you're listening in today. And for those that are, I guess, they aren't going to hear it if they tried dialing and couldn't get through. Some of them are still struggling with that. They're still trying to get all the bugs out of the system, but we're overworking it for sure these days. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of the day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and care for us. We thank you that though the world sometimes looks like it's kind of out of control, we know that you're still in control. And as that song says, how great thou art. How many people out there today don't know you and don't know how great you are? They're just looking at all this and it's a big black hole. They have no idea what's going on, how it's going to end, who's in charge, if anybody. And Lord, we just thank you that we can look to you and know that you're going to continue to watch over and care for us no matter what's going on around us. We do pray for President, Vice President, for those with these different task force to, for the health side of things and the economy. You give them wisdom and decisions they're making. We do pray too for the governors of our states, some opening up, getting back to business again, and then there's our own who seem to have us locked up longer than any than New York City. We pray, Lord, that you might work that out so that would change here in the near future too. And you give those people wisdom, giving him advice, that he'd get good advice. We do pray that you guide us as we look at the scriptures here together. Missing out on some of the sports activities, but the way I understand it, they scout the other teams. People there, videos are there, they're watching what the opposition might be. And Lord, you've given us insight today as to what our opposition, or at least part of it, is as we look at the evil angels and the demons today. Help us to know our enemy, what they're capable of. We'll see more of that, Lord willing, here next week. And I pray your Holy Spirit be our teacher and guide now, in Jesus' name. Some of you can think back, and some of you have to think back further than others, back to school, or maybe it's even in the workplace. Seems like there's always some troublemakers. Some are just goofing off. Others are jokesters. There's always pulling pranks on somebody. And then there's a few, and maybe only just the one, that was really mean and evil. And so it is with the angels. We've seen the good angels, the elect angels, those that are in heaven doing what God wants them to do, and even here watching over and helping us in ways that we don't even know about. But then there's the other side of the coin, the evil angels. And we're going to take a look at them today, because again, that is our opposition. These are the angels that fell into sin, that were cast out of heaven with Satan. And they're called evil or unclean spirits, principalities, powers, rulers of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Got some different taglines there. Common designation that we see in Scripture is devils. But a more accurate translation of that would be demons. There's only one devil, that of Satan, and many demons. And in the New Testament, there's only one word for devil, and that's singular, and it's applied to Satan himself. And so we have demons, we have evil spirits, unclean spirits. That's one and the same. And in those of you who got the outlines, if you're listening today and would like the outlines, so you can look up some of these other scriptures, if you either email us, write, call, whatever, we can get one of those outlines to you. Begin to look here today at their origin. And just like with anything else, there's the truth, and then there's the false. And the Bible doesn't specifically talk about the demonic origin, but there are some false theories out here. One of those, that they're spirits of the wicked, deceased people. Those that died that were wicked become these fallen angels. And the Greeks believed that, and maybe that's where it came from. But it spread. People may even believe that yet today. But the Bible said the wicked dead are confined to a place of torment. They don't become angels, just like good people. And unfortunately, there's some that promote that. Saw it on an advertisement here a while back. I think I mentioned that. I think it was Wounded Warriors or something. Some poor widow was telling her children that their daddy had become an angel. Well, he might have been a nice guy, but he didn't become an angel. Men, women, children don't become angels. They're two totally separate creations of God. Others are saying, well, they're disembodied spirit from a pre-Adamic race something happened before the world as we know it. Again, no scriptural evidence of that. Jesus said Adam was the first man. And there are others that think, well, maybe they're the offspring of those that talk about in Genesis chapter 6. And again, no scriptural evidence for that. But who they are fallen angels. They're related to Satan in the sense that they fell from heaven as well. They fell into sin, just like Satan did. And we'll see what happens to them here. But a couple of verses that talk about this. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says, "Then shall he say unto them that are on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Okay? These fallen angels are Satan's angels, if you will. Revelation 12, verse 3 and 4 says, "There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon," and that is Satan, "having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns on his head, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Well, this dragon, the red dragon, that's probably where they get the picture of the devil in the red suit with the horns and the pitchfork and all that. But it does describe him as a red dragon. And he drew a third of the angels with him. They chose to follow him, to follow Satan in disobedience to God. The woman is that of Israel, the child being that of Jesus. They've been bent on destroying or trying to destroy Jesus and to disrupt God's plan from the very beginning. And the scriptures that we see here said that they were created perfect. In Genesis chapter 1, we see seven times that everything that God created was good. But then they fell into association with Satan, and they fell into sin. And we'll see a couple of those verses here in a moment. But it says that they kept not their first estate. They didn't stay in heaven. They didn't stay true to the Lord. They rebelled against God, and as a result became fallen angels. And the several passages that refer to them as demons, spirits, associated with the fallen angels. And, excuse me, didn't have enough coffee here this morning, I guess. And Satan and his angels. For those that received the mail packet that I mailed out, email or otherwise, on the back of the prayer letter to the Christies, I think I had put this on there. You won't be able to see this, but it's kind of a, you know, people do charts, their family tree. Well, this is kind of the tree for the angels. It started out all angels, and then we have the unfallen, or the elect, the good angels. And then we had those that rebelled with Satan, the demons. And then we'll see here in a little bit, there were some that were loose and active demons, and then there are others that are confined. And even of the confined, there are some that are temporarily confined and others that are permanently confined. And we'll see this as we go on here. And so we see the demons are kind of divided into two classes. Those, first of all, that are in prison, confined. Some are permanently confined. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains and darkness to be reserved unto judgment." It wasn't strike one, strike two, strike three, they're out. No, it was strike one. There is no salvation available for the angels. They sinned against God and they stay that way. Jude 6 says, "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation," or left heaven, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day. And so we've got some that are chained up. They've been chained up since they fell into sin. We don't know how God differentiates between the two, but some that are permanently imprisoned. Others are temporarily imprisoned. Some of them are there in the bottomless pit that we see Satan ends up being thrown into for 1,000 years. Gives a little peace and quiet on earth for 1,000 years when Christ rules and reigns. But that's a temporary imprisonment. Revelation 9:11 says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." So there's a temporary put into the bottomless pit. We'll see later on that they end up being set loose. In Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14, says, "I saw the three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of the devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the great battle of the great day of God Almighty." And so some are temporarily restrained. And then we see a second group, those that seem to be free, those that are able to move about. And those are the ones that are causing havoc along with Satan today. And we're told as believers to put on our battle armor. There in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And those descriptions would be that of the demons. And it's in this latter class here that they are released into the heavenlies. Revelation 12:7 says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," which is Satan, "and the dragon fought and his angels." And so there's battles going on that we don't even know about. And they're the ones that are causing problems for us and for nations and battle against the good angels. And when we take a look at Scripture, we see that there are different time periods when there seems to be more activity by Satan and the demons than others. And one of those was when Jesus was present here upon the earth. And in the New Testament, from the Gospels on through the book of Revelation, in the Gospels we see many instances where Jesus Christ is casting out demons that are indwelling people. Jesus also gave his disciples the authority to cast out demons. And when Jesus sent out the 70 to be a witness, he didn't correct them when they came back all enthused the fact that they'd been able to cast out demons. And so we see that there was a lot of demon activity when Jesus was here upon the earth. Now, the time of their fall, we can't be dogmatic on this, but it seems clear that the fall of these angels preceded the fall of man, because Satan, one of them, entered into the garden in his fallen state. He was used to trick Eve into sin, and that was before the fall of man. And how long before, we don't know. The cause of the fall seems to be due to the fact that they deliberately chose to revolt against God. They had the ability to stay true to God and to be obedient to him, or to choose to sin and be disobedient. That was their choice. And they are left with their choice and receive the condemnation as a result of them rebelling against God. Now, we see that they do exist. We see the fact that Jesus recognized them. He knew that they existed. He said that they did. They were recognized by the 70 who were used to cast out demons, by the apostles who also cast out demons, and by Paul. And he gave a warning against that. Even James spoke of that as well. They seem to have some organization to them. There's seem to have ranks of fallen angels, the evil angels that rule over some of the nations of the world. We see instances where the wicked angels, one of them referred to as Legion, headed up a large group of fallen spirits, evil demons that possess the maniac of Gadara. And we see also there in the bottomless pit, there's one that seems to be in charge over others. There are four military angels that will lead up that 200 million man army that will take place during the latter part of the tribulation there in Revelation 9. Three angels are used to organize the events of the Battle of Armageddon there in Revelation 16. And so there is some pecking order, if you will. They're taking orders from somebody else over them. We see their description. They're given, again, different names. Jesus, we see here, was dealing with them in his day, and he referred to them as evil spirits. In Luke 7:21, it says, "In the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of the evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight." And so he referred to them as evil spirits, also referred to as unclean spirits in Matthew 10, seducing spirits in 1 Timothy 4, referred to as demons in various places, there with, that, again, that maniac of Gadara, there in Luke chapter 8, talks about the demons that were indwelling him. Their nature. Well, they have a nature. They have a personality. Maybe not a good one, but they have a personality. You may remember what makes up a personality is that of intellect, emotion, and will. And we see that taking place in the lives of these evil angels, these demons. They have personal intelligence, oftentimes seems to be a superhuman intelligence. Again, this one that was referred to as Legion knew Jesus from afar off, and they possessed that ability to speak. He could speak to Jesus, gave evidence of their personality. They have emotions. It talks about there in Luke chapter 8, the fact that there was fear and trembling taking place. They have a will, that ability to choose. They exercise their will when he was going to cast them out of, cast the demons out. They asked that they would be put into the swine that ended up running down the hill and diving off the cliff and were killed as they fell into the sea. They are spirit beings as well. They have a personality. They have they're spirit beings. They don't have a body as you and I do, although they are able to take on a body as needed. They're many in number. Again, it referred to Satan taking a third of the angels of heaven with him there in Revelation chapter 12. This one that was referred to as Legion would be corresponding to the Roman legions, and they said there was about 6,000 soldiers in a legion. And so there was potentially 6,000 demons indwelling this man. So numerous. That's why sometimes it seems like Satan's everywhere. Well, he isn't. But he's got a lot of helpers. There's a lot of demons out there. They act as his representative. And they are degenerate in their character. They're vicious and malicious. we're better off not having anything to do with a demon. And as Christians, they're out to destroy us. They are our enemies. Guy that kind of sticks in my mind, and he's apparently still around, I think, but Abinadab, I used to call him Abinadab, the one that was the ruler of Iran. He's the one who wanted to destroy Israel, blow them off the face of the earth. And there are others that have taken his place with have similar plans. But you can be confident that their demons are involved in that country and the leadership of it because of what they want to do to God's chosen people, the people of Israel. They're debased in their conduct. They, in different instances, and we're not taking time to look at each one of these, and this is why we put those references in your outlines that you can look at some of these on your own. But there was a little boy that was possessed, and it said that they would cast him into the fire or cast him into the water. And I'm sure mom and dad are watching him, you know, 24/7 to grab him to spare his life until the Christ caused the demons to flee from him. They are both invisible and visible. And as spirit beings, they're normally invisible to the human eye. They're as fallen angels are. But just as angels have the power to appear at various occasions, they're in with Lot, they're in Genesis chapter 19, the evil spirits have that same ability to do so. Satan, who is one of them, also able to assume different forms. It tells us that he was there in the garden appearing as a serpent. We see him there in Zechariah 3:1 that Satan is seen here. He says, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. He appears to Jesus. And in some kind of bodily form there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, he said unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so the demons also able to take on visible forms, even human forms if needed. And Scripture records their appearances. They assume to be hideous in their appearance. And we see some instances of that there in Revelation chapter 9. This has taken place during the tribulation time. But it says in Revelation 9, verse 7 to 10, it says, and the shapes of the locusts, and this would be some of the demons, were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, and it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. Well, this is a pretty hideous looking demon, if you will, and many of them. Then again in Revelation chapter 16, verse 13 to 16, it says, and I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, or Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The beast is the Antichrist. False prophet is the one who's trying to get people to worship him. It says, for they are the spirits of devils or demons working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And so we see here They take on different forms that are used, seen during the tribulation time. We see the powers of these demons. This is one of the things that we need to be alert to, for the fact that they are able to cause great damage. We saw that they have supernatural intelligence. They possess great intelligence. They are the ones that are working with the occult methods and mediums, and depending on the intellect of the demons. And that's who you're dealing with when you're messing around with mediums, fortune tellers, and those sort of things. That's why you stay away from Ouija boards and things like that. That's why God says, leave them alone, stay away from it. It's bad news. It won't do you any good. And they're in a league with Satan, who has great intelligence. They have superior intelligence, but they're not unlimited. There's a limit to it. The demons have supernatural insight as to the identity of Christ and his great power. They know about the future judgment. They're well aware of what Scripture has to say, what's coming. And yet they cleverly deceive men. They withhold information about salvation. The Bible talks about the fact that their minds are blinded. Okay, and no doubt demon involvement in there, trying to hide the truth from people so that they won't hear the truth and respond to it and be saved. They masquerade as messengers of light. Kind of like the fake news out there today. They're full of lies. And they're able to distinguish between believers and non-believers. We see that they are able to be let loose from the bottomless pit. There in Revelation 9:4 that we saw earlier. They know how to corrupt doctrine. The cults of today, I got a book in there to talk about them. It's called The Truth Twisters. A very good book that talks about a variety of these different cults. They've got some truth, but they mix in the error, and people don't know the Bible, can get confused and end up believing it. And so this is how they use their powers. Whatever knowledge and abilities they have, they use it against God and God's purposes. They seem to have some knowledge of the future. And fortune tellers. The Bible talks about mediums. Those, he says, stay away from those. It's not just something fun, okay? Acts 16, Paul was dealing with some young lady that was following him around. She was making money for people, telling people's fortune, but she was possessed by a demon. And he cast out the demon. And so she can't tell the future anymore. And that makes these fellows mad, and Paul ends up in prison. But it says there in Acts 16, verse 16 and 17, it came to pass that as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, and that's the ability to tell the future, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, or telling the future. The same followed Paul and us and cried, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Well, salvation to those pagan people in that city would have led them astray, not towards the truth. And so later Paul demands that this demon come out of her, because that was what was empowering her to tell people's fortunes. Now, the source of their knowledge, excuse me, part of their created nature, but they also have vast experience in the sense that they've been around for several thousand years. They've learned a lot just by experience. And despite their knowledge, they use all their resources against God and against God's purposes. And their knowledge is limited, and their plans will be overthrown by God. And yet they try to defeat God and his plans anyway. They have supernatural strength. We see that, again, that's something they're going to use against us. They use it to control men. There are times when demons possess or inhabit men, women. They take control of them. This is not going to happen to a believer, but believers can be influenced but not indwelt, possessed by demons. An example of that is them inhabiting a man who had resisted the seven sons of Sceva. There in Acts chapter 19, verse 16, it tells us, "And the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." Got one guy beating up on him, one demon. We also see that we touched on here earlier, the maniac of Gadaras was controlled by many unclean spirits. It says there in Mark chapter 5, verse 2 to 5, says, "And when he," talking about Jesus, "was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit," or with possessed by demons, "who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him." In other words, he just ripped off the chains. "And the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." It's only quite a person you want to avoid. But here's this demonic power manifesting itself, viciousness. He's cutting himself up. I mean, it's not doing him any good. He's being a wounded person as a result of them indwelling him. Another time that we mentioned, a man's son who had been indwelt by a demon, it said he was cast often into the fire and into the water. They're trying to kill him. They're promoting self-destruction of their individuals. And these they have great power. They were seen when Jesus cast out the demons that possessed the man of Gadaras, there in Matthew chapter 5. And they entered into a herd of hogs, 2,000 of them. And after entering into these hogs, they ran down off a steep cliff and drowned in the sea, which the owners were pretty upset about. But they shouldn't have been raising hogs anyway. But Jesus had power over all of them. We see here that they afflict men as well. There we saw in Revelation, the locusts or the demons are attacking men so painfully that they want to die, but they can't. There are also four angels that are set loose, that they pour out fire from their lion-like mouths and end up killing off about a third of mankind. They are able to do supernatural works and miracles. They perform deceptive miracles. They interfere with the laws of nature. Satan, as their leader, is described, the working of nature, as using signs and wonders. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says he works through the Antichrist, the false prophet. He does so to deceive the people on earth at that time. And to the point that he's able to make fire come out of heaven there in Revelation 13. He causes the image that the Antichrist has made to become animated. And Satan, again, is the great counterfeiter. Wherever there's something good and real and genuine, Satan comes right along behind it and wants to have a counterfeit. Just like Christ is going to rule and reign on the earth, he puts up the Antichrist or the substitute Christ to try to get him reigning over the world. But there's a limit to what these demons and Satan can duplicate. The magic, or the magicians there in Egypt with Moses, when they're trying to set the people free, they tried to copy Moses' miracles. They could do some of them, but not all of them. And they had to recognize the greater power came from God, from Moses' God, not their gods. We see also supernatural presence. Just as angels move swiftly, so demons are able to do so. They're not limited by material bodies as we are, and seem to be extremely fast. They do have some limitations, though, in time and space. And yet, because there are so many demons, Satan's influence seems to be felt all over this world. They're organized. They're efficient. They're effective. And yet, God is able to restrain them. And they could do a whole lot more damage if God didn't put the brakes on them and to stop them from what they do. So as we kind of pull this together, and again, we'll have kind of a part two, Lord willing, here next week, as we see some of the things that these demons do, things that we need to be alert to. These demons are persons. They have personalities. They have intellect, emotion, and will, just as good angels do. They started out as good angels. And they are spirit beings, and yet they are morally perverted in their personalities, in their doctrine, their understanding, in their conduct. They're twisted. And often they're referred to as unclean spirits, evil spirits. And normally they're invisible, but they can at times be seen. And when they are, it seems to have hideous forms. They possess supernatural powers of intelligence and strength and presence. And yet the sum total of their personalities, they direct it all against God. They follow Satan's leadership. And the thing is, the Lord's given us this information so that we won't want to have any part in them. And they only want to destroy us one way or another. And as we said, next week we'll look at some of the things, some of the what they do, their activities. But then Satan too, and his work, and how to defend ourselves of them. But they are our enemy, just as they are God's enemies. And we need to be alert to them. We ought to know our enemy and who they are and what they do. And we can also thank God for his protection over us to guard us from their influences and their powers. Yes, God is good. Things could be a whole lot worse than they are if God wasn't watching over and caring for us on a regular basis. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for helping us to see what our unseen, in most cases, enemies are, what they're like, and we'll see more as to what they do. We need to be alert to that, lest we get tricked. We got Adam and Eve, probably the smartest people that ever lived other than Jesus Christ here on this earth, and yet Eve is deceived. She's tricked. And we can be tricked too. They are trying their best to lead people away from Christ, to lead them into one kind of an error or another. And we do pray that you would guard us, protect us, help us to be students of the words, lest we be led astray. We pray that you'll continue to help us to be used of you this week. We're probably somewhat limited in some of the things that we can do, but help us to be guided by you in reaching out to those that we can. Maybe it's through email or the phone or some means to reach out to those who don't know the Lord. That you can share what God is doing in your heart and life, how he's able to give you peace in the midst of storm. Again, we thank you for being with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.